Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining me here. I'm Mandy Rousing of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm happy to be joined again today by my fellow colleague, Deb LaCroix. And I hope I get this right, Deb, Inner Power Coaching, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I always get a little nervous that I say it right, because with Inner Winning Coaching and Inner Power Coaching, I'm always afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. But I'm happy to have Deb here with me again today on this beautiful Friday in August as the summer starts to come down to an end. But we've been blessed with beautiful weather here in New England, and hope wherever you are, everything is looking really great, and you're enjoying yourself. So today is going to be a conversation that we're going to be having that's going to be talking about awareness, perception, and self-evaluation, and just sort of taking a good look at yourself and, you know, how you're showing up and what kinds of things that you're doing to sort of look at yourself, reflect upon yourself, and looking at what it is that, you know, how you show up each and every day. And so before we get into that, just to give you a little bit of background on myself, and I'll give Deb a quick moment to introduce herself as well. I'm Mandy Rousing of Inner Winning Coaching, and I primarily work with athletes in regards to helping them create that, bring out the best that they have both on and off the field, helping them make those connections as to what it is they do off the field that affects their on-field performance, and then also helping them realize that how they show up on the field affects them when they're off the field as well. And presently I'm doing a program called Core Performance Dynamics, which is a really, really fascinating new program that I'm so excited to be a part of, which was through the IPEC Coaching School. And like I said, I'm very excited to be doing that. And we get into all this stuff with the athletes and really, like I said, really taking a look at how their performance, you know, how they perform, and then how all of that shows up and reflects in their everyday lives. And if you want more information on what it is I do or to be able to reach me after the show, you can do so. My website is coachmandy.com. I have a Facebook page, which is Inner Winning Coaching. I'm also on Twitter, which is at LifeCoachMandy, and my email address is mandy@coachmandy.com. And so, again, I'm very excited to have Deb LaCroix joining me here today. Deb and I go way back. We went through our coaching program together, and we were very fortunate to have reconnected about a year and a half ago. And since then, we've been doing a lot of work together and doing some things, and she's joined me several times in the show, and I'm happy to have her here with me again today. So, Deb, thank you for joining me, and welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I always enjoy these conversations that we have. I'm, again, Deb LaCroix, and I really enjoy coaching, looking at all of the aspects we're going to talk about today, that awareness that we work on each and every day. I kind of talk about, you know, that looking in the mirror all the time, really facing what needs to change, how I'm looking at things, and I try to bring that to my clients, looking for their passion, looking at what they really want to achieve, balancing that inner power, and helping them create their goals. It's a lot of fun. I work with workshops, and I'm on radio with Mandy occasionally, and teleclasses, and just having a lot of fun with it. You can reach me at innerpowercoaching.org, and email is debipc10@gmail.com.
Well, great. And again, thank you for joining me. And I'd like to just say that Deb is up in lovely Ludlow, Vermont, which is a beautiful place up there. Anybody from the New England area or any skiers out there would probably be familiar with that, as because that's where Chemo Mountain is. So a very beautiful place up there. And so that's where Deb's coming from. And I'm coming to you from Marlborough, Connecticut. And the powers of modern technology allow us to do this show together and bring all this information that we're looking forward to sharing with you here today. Now, as I had mentioned, today's topic being on awareness and perception and self-evaluation really came to me this week after the passing of Robin Williams, which was really such an unfortunate thing to have happened. It was, I know obviously it took everyone by shock and surprise, and, you know, there's been a lot of different discussions out there as to you know, the aspects of, in regards to suicide and depression and all these types of things. And one of the things that it brought up for me is, and there was a little something I wrote, posted on Facebook, which is what I want to, I'm going to share with you here in a moment, but why it sparked an interest into doing this piece about awareness, perception, and self-evaluation is because so often in our lives, we move through life not really slowing down long enough to sort of see what's going on around us or even see what's going around within us. And, you know, it's saying one of these kinds of things where you had Robin Williams, who was someone who was getting treatment and who was diagnosed with depression. So this was not an unknown illness. And I think one thing to really, really jump off and start off the bat with right away is to discuss the fact that depression is an illness. And it was something he was working on, trying to manage. And for reasons that no one will ever know, it got the best of him. And I think it's important to just mention that because, unfortunately, there is this outward perception, and this is where the awareness perception piece come in, this outward perception of how could someone like him, who is so funny and so well-liked and loved, do this? We're not here today to answer that question because that is far beyond anything where we're coming from, but that is where I got the, idea and the feelings to sort of do this show today. Hopefully help people take that moment to stop, like I said, and look within themselves and also look around. And here's the piece that I wrote that I shared earlier this week on Facebook. And this speaks to the fact that it's as important as it is to know what's going on in our lives, it's also really important to take notice and pay attention to other people in their lives as well, because sometimes we might just miss something that is right in front of our eyes, that it was there, and all of a sudden, good or bad, something shifts and changes, and we step back and be like, wow, it was right there all the time, and I never even noticed it. So here's what I wrote. In light of the passing of Robin Williams, it's a good time for all of us to remember. The outward appearance of someone's life is no indication of what they are feeling or experiencing. Money and fame is not the guaranteed road to happiness. We all want to be liked, loved, and feel valued. We all have good days, and we all have struggles. Say hello to a stranger because it may be the only time that day someone acknowledges them. Show kindness by always saying please and thank you. And realize we all have feelings, so have compassion for those around you. This is a very sad, sad story that should serve as a reminder, life is precious and we never know who may be struggling. Sometimes those laughing the loudest are hurting the most. So that is what I shared, and I wanted to share that here today as well because I think that's one of those things, again, that really speaks to that place of awareness, perception, and that self-evaluation. So Deb, and I know we hadn't talked a lot about this beforehand today. A lot of times Deb and I will talk, spend a couple of hours talking about topics before our shows. But tell me what your thoughts are in regards to not so much just this, if you have any thoughts on what I just read or anything with the Robin Williams piece, but just in general as to what it means for you about creating awareness for, people's perceptions and then also, having that sense of looking for self-evaluation.
Onto the depression piece, just to add to that a little bit, having had family members who've been through depression and watching close up something that if you've never had it, and I haven't had the fortune to not be depressed, it's really hard to understand something you've never experienced and the hopelessness that can be there. With that, no matter how aware one tries to be, and I watched a family member work really, really hard to stay aware, to evaluate constantly, and that depression can sneak in. It is not a weakness. I think that's the one thing that I saw from a family member this week. It's not a weakness, and I think that's what people need to understand. It is a disease, and it is something that takes a lot of work. So, yes, awareness and is very important to that person. But as you said, with people around us, that we need to have compassion for people who are struggling. And again, just because they're laughing so hard does not always mean that they're together, that they're not struggling terribly to hold themselves together through this. That answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you've shared that, you know, you've personally have not experienced it, but you have personally experienced it with someone in your life, within your life. So I'm sure when something like this happens, it really probably hit home for you because you can understand the trials and tribulations that someone goes through and the struggles that they're going through. And even when they're doing everything they possibly can, sometimes it just takes over them. So thank you for sharing that, for sure. And speaking of that, Dev does not know this is coming. Dev and I have talked a lot about developing your story. That's one of the things in coaching that is really, really a personal thing to do. You develop your story so that you understand where you're coming from so that you can help others. And it's something that she and I talk a lot about. And I think in light of everything that's been, you know, being talked about here, you know, trying to develop one's story is also a matter of, like, reaching back and looking at the things that happened to us. And, you know, it's one of those kinds of things where things show up in our lives that we don't know are going to show up or just we have those struggles. And, you know, I watched my father was, who recently passed away from dementia, probably suffered through depression through most of his life. He never really had an issue with anything extreme, but he was the kindest, gentlest man, would take the, you know, shirt off his back and give to anyone. And yet there was almost like this something missing, that he was like a sadness or something. And later, when he then did get diagnosed with dementia, one of the things that they then started treating him for was depression. And they have noticed that there actually can be there is a correlation there. And as we know, dementia being a disease and an illness that is a chemical, you know, chemically affected and things like that, you know, they talk about it going hand in hand. So, you know, it's interesting. We probably all have someone in our lives that we have shared and experienced, you know, something like this. So having just, you know, talked about these kinds of things and sort of shifting here a little bit, in talking about the awareness, personal awareness, perception, things like that, why do you think it's so, not important, but why do you think so many people, especially today, feel that they have to hide who they are?
Oh, boy, that's loaded.
you know where this conversation
is. As my perception is of it, is that I kind of laugh at, you know, because everything is our perception of things. I think that where you were talking about self-evaluation, it's in writing your story, it is basically, writing your story is going to be the self-evaluation, and you're going to, what is your perception of it right now? What is your perception as you're writing it? Can you stay conscious? Can you stay outside your own box to look at it differently? And I think that's where we get that emotional attachment. You know, I just made a statement to someone, and I always have to stop and think of this, and I think this is where that comes from, that putting that mask on, is you are not who you think you are. You are not who I think you are. You're who you think I think you are.
Yeah, that's where we sort of get trapped a little bit.
And I mean, working with a client who, if you don't mind me sharing a little bit of his story, has just had some realizations, struggling terribly with running from life. So the masks have been on for however they need to be on. She's really become aware that she has a need to create drama. That's a real awareness. I mean, that sitting down and looking at that, looking in the mirror and seeing how that has been a pattern in her life, as you avoid dealing with life. And as she quoted, to avoid dealing with life and the path of chaos that's left in my wake. So she's impulsive, and she creates drama because she doesn't have to stop and look at where things need to change. Her perception is often how other people are thinking of her, and therefore she needs to correct the world. You know, it's just this vicious cycle of something's wrong with me internally, and I don't know what it is, and I feel like a failure, so therefore I'm going to just have a cloud burst around me of drama all the time so that I don't have to look at it. And I think that that's a really scary place to be.
Absolutely, because it's that place of, it's almost as if you know that they know that they're not happy, but they can't go to that place to look within to sort of figure out what it is I can do to change it, shift it, make something else happen from it, because it's easier to live within that space than it is to make the change or to look at what's causing it. Because as we know with what we do with the coaching work, 99.999% of that time, right, it's all you. It is, and I think we probably could very comfortably say it's 100% you. It all starts and ends with where you are and how you're showing up. And most people don't want to go there, because then it's a case of we don't want to look in the mirror. We don't want to see what it is we want to see. It's easier to live on that outward external piece, and just keep that swirling around us, because that's just what we know. And to make a change, people are terrified of change.
Right, and it's funny that you use the word swirling, because the description I've gotten through our discussions with my client is that vicious circle of impulsiveness and drama are like the water that kind of eddies around, and I think that's the right word, and goes down into this spiral that would suck you right in and you can't fight your way out of. And she's feeling like that's where she is so much of the time, and she's struggling to keep her head above water. Whereas what her goal is, you know, as life is kind of could be circular in your patterns, she would like to be working hard to climb a mountain. And you see the pictures of people encircling the mountain as they go up through on the ridges. And as hard as it is to climb that mountain to achieve something, that is her goal. So she's trying to visualize taking that spiral downward into that nice, beautiful view of awareness and clarity by climbing that mountain. So it's a really good visual.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, and the piece here, too, as to where the self-evaluation aspect came from, actually came to me recently, you know, again, in light with everything else that happened and that we've been talking about, in regards to, because I'm working with a couple of athletes right now, teenage girls, and it's, you know, we're doing sports skill development, and then I integrate, you know, I'm integrating the other work pieces, so it's a combo of skill development and then also helping them shape and understand how what they're doing and how they look at themselves and how they react and all these kinds of things affect performance. And I had a very interesting sort of reveal recently on one of my recent lessons. Was I was just asking some very simple questions, because I was trying to get, she was going to be a freshman in high school, trying to get her to look at and understand, be able to sort of see again, how does she show up and what she can bring to the table that she is always in absolute control of. And what we got into the discussion about was attitude and effort, because that is that one thing that she can always control is her attitude and effort. And when I asked a couple of simple questions, of course, in my mind, simple, it became so apparent to me very quickly how how actually difficult this question was for her, because it was forcing her to have to look at herself and answer a question that was directly about her. And she was being asked to give the answer. It wasn't, you know, mom or dad or anybody else. She was having to do the self-evaluation. And the question was, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your effort today? And she had trouble answering that question. And the reason she had trouble answering that question is we only had a few minutes, but we dug a little bit deeper, is because nobody ever talks to her about that. Nobody ever asks her, how does she feel about what she's doing? How does she, you know, what can she do to bring to the table with everything? But the flip side of it, what I was really trying to get at with her, was helping her come to that place of being okay with actually giving herself sort of a good answer, but allowing herself to feel good about what it is she was doing, and then being able to say, okay, if, you know, maybe the answer was an 8 today, I brought, you know, my effort today was an 8, then understanding what can I do to bring it up to a 9 or maybe a 10. And then on the flip side of that, looking at it from the aspect of, but what if my answer would have been a 3 or 4 today? What did I learn about myself in my effort being a 3 and 4? And this information to her was so incredibly new. It was you know, you would have thought I was asking her to, you know, give me the definition of pie, you know, like of pie, you know what I mean? Or explain physics to me or something like that. And it just made me realize that we have a generation right now that we need to, and it's not even just this generation. I think it goes across the board. You and I would probably say it's just been across the board that we don't stop long enough to say, hey, wait a minute, like, you know, it's okay for me to think I'm doing a good job. It's okay for me to do that, again, self-evaluation and learn and see what it is I bring to the table. Because if she doesn't know what she's bringing to the table or believe in what she's bringing to the table, then how do you create that that energy and that stuff with people around you? And I just really found it so fascinating, because this sweet kid, smart kid, good athlete, and yet a simple question as to just rate yourself on your effort. And it was the most uncomfortable question you would have thought I could have ever asked this kid.
Do you think maybe because some of it might have been, you know, foreign to her, but some of it might have been because she was not going to absolutely answer with a 10? And if we have not given 100%, we're failures.
And yes, it was, because one of the things that then came out in a little bit further discussion was that she is a perfectionist. And so for her, it's either a 10 or a 1. So then I asked, well, how often or how many times do you think you would actually give yourself a 10? And she looked at me, and it was funny because this part, she didn't even hesitate on this question. She looked at me, she goes, well, never.
Oh.
And I looked at her and I said, that's it right there. I said, that's the part that we gotta look at a little bit more. Because I said, doesn't mean, it's not an ego thing to ever give yourself a 10, but she was already in that place of, well, it'll never be a 10 because it'll never be good enough. And you and I know the work with the gremlins and everything is about us trying to overcome and help clients rid themselves of that, or not rid themselves because we know it never leaves us, but be able to work with our gremlins to not have our we're not good enough feelings ever take over us.
Right, and I think with our energy leadership training that we have, the attitudes, the energy levels that we go through every day, you know, we've learned to accept that we can be catabolic and we can have negative energy, and it's okay. It's going to happen sometimes throughout the day, whereas with, you know, we all want to attain 7 all the time, and it's literally impossible. We're not going to be at the highest level of energy 100% of the time.
Absolutely. And yet we live in a time now where everything's instantaneous. I have to be the biggest. I have to be the brightest. I have to be, you know, we're surrounded by reality TV shows. It's all about my 15 minutes of fame. And everything sort of gets blown all out of proportion, and everything gets sensationalized. And if we're not on all the time, or we're not at this like peak level that we think we're supposed to be, then there must be something wrong with us.
Right. So therefore, we sometimes to be unconsciously incompetent, as I call it, rather than consciously incompetent, aware of it but not able to quite achieve it yet because we haven't had the practice, we tend to, and I think, you know, my client, going back to my client, one of the things that she's realizing is that she spent a good share of her life trying to self-correct everyone else. And she's like the autocorrect on your phone and wants everyone else to be perfect, and that's going to make her perfect. And she's not able to get everybody there. And it's just such a struggle. You know, some of that being, she doesn't look at herself. She can, you know, evaluate everybody else rather than self-evaluate herself. And she's realizing how she's pushed people away, how hard that's been to stay close to someone when you know, almost stabbing them in the back with your criticism and judgment and, you know, having like a non-judgment journal and being kinder to ourselves also, you know, something that she's really, really working on.
Absolutely. And you know, as you're talking about that, you know, it brings up, it was funny, there was actually two thoughts. And I've reached that point where I've forgotten what one of them was. But one of the thoughts was when you were talking about the control thing. And as we know, control, it comes from a place of fear. When we try to control others and we try to have that outward control, it's because it's the fear that's going on within our own selves that we don't want to either face or we don't want to let get the best of us. So if I can control everything around me and in my environment, that fear isn't going to have any place to take hold. It's not going to have any room to grab onto anything, because I'm going to work really, really hard to make sure everything is in order and everybody around me is doing everything how I need them to do it in order for me to feel comfortable, because we're coming from such a place of fear. And what's really interesting is I can completely relate to that. From a standpoint of, I can recall, I joke about my pre-coaching life and my post-coaching life of, you know, people, if they knew me then versus know me now, would see the complete shift in regards to, I used to have to try to control everything, and it wasn't coming from a bad place. It was coming from a place of, if I could control every little element that was showing up in my life, then I would be able to, then I didn't have to face like the fears that were coming, you know, that I had of whether it was the, you know, basically it came down to the fear of not being good enough or not seeming like I knew what I was doing, or, you know, not showing any of my vulnerability. Because to be vulnerable, you know, you have to let yourself be exposed. And there can be a fear with that, because maybe if somebody sees something in you that a vulnerability, well, maybe they won't like you, or maybe they're going to now try to change you, or all these kinds of things. So that fear, that control comes from the fear of not wanting to let our true selves be seen, because if we let our true selves be seen, then maybe you won't like me. And yet when we then try to control, we get so outside of ourselves that we quite often end up with the exact result that we're trying to eliminate.
Very true, very true. That sense of failure, that sense of not feeling good enough, just so consumes, I think, society in that if we all could let that go and accept who we are, and we would much quicker accept who other people are.
Exactly, and it's that piece of you know, that bigger question of why, you know, why do we have so much fear around letting our true selves be exposed? I mean, I'm not asking. I'm asking that sort of as a big theoretical question. Not for you to
great
give
question.
Up unless you have the answer.
No, it's that. Great. I can't. It's an absolutely great question, and I think that's so individual with every person having to do that self-evaluation and figure that out.
And that's where that awareness comes. And that's one of the big pieces that we do a lot of in coaching is we help people come aware and identify with who they are so that they can, and with awareness, we know, comes consciousness. And consciousness is finally a word that's starting to be very, very mainstream. You know, a few years back, if you would start throwing around the word consciousness, you'd start to lose people. And, you know, and I was one of them. You'd start to be like, oh, here they start to come with that woo-hoo mumbo-jumbo. But understanding basically consciousness and awareness, if you ask me, kind of go hand in hand. And it's only when we are conscious of something that is going on within ourselves or within our lives that we can then address it, face it, change it, or keep it as it is. Awareness doesn't mean all of a sudden you have to do anything differently, but it's just about it's just about knowing something's there. It's like a perfect example is, say you're going car shopping and you're going to look for a red car, or really I guess we got to pick out a specific car like a red a red Toyota. Next thing you know, all you're going to see are red Toyotas. And that's because all of a sudden you have created an awareness around red Toyotas.
Even though no one owned one.
What was that?
Even though you thought before no one owned one.
Well, exactly. Right. And I think what happens with the awareness part is so often we think we're alone in the struggle that we're going through. We think that there's no one else out there who could ever understand or like what it is that you're feeling, because you maybe, especially if it's something that's difficult, who else could ever be feeling something like what you're feeling or be experiencing something as bad as you're feeling? But when you create that, when you create awareness, all of a sudden you're going to start to find that there are people, there are other people who are in the same boat as you, or there are other people who have gone through these same things or made these same adjustments or same changes and things such as that. And that's, I think, what's so important about awareness is it just allows you to sort of look at things through, through a little bit different light, look at things with just a little bit of different shift. And when you look at things differently, then you can make, you get to be in a position where you choose to make different choices and or coming at it from a different way. You could stay exactly where you are and how you are, and things are, but when you look at it differently, now all of a sudden you're going to you're going to have the potential to make different choices.
Definitely, and I think our thoughts, I can't even remember how many hundreds of thousands of thoughts run through our head that we're not even maybe consciously aware of. And then, they're telling us stories and they're telling us things, and those aren't always positive, and we start, like you said, start feeling like we're the only ones who have those thoughts, and therefore there's something wrong and we shouldn't share some of those. And the minute you do and you realize the rest of the world has those, or you're able to stop them or acknowledge them and say, okay, this is probably a thought that I don't really doesn't serve me, and I've got to kind of look at it and see why I'm having it and where it's coming from. Where did it, creep up in my past or recently in my ego or something? And to let that go. And that's where coaching, that ability to, you and I do it to each other all the time. Just express our thoughts. And so many times the answers come to that explain that thought or to be able to dismiss it also.
Yes, Deb and I have some of the greatest coaching sessions. We could be talking to each other, and we might be talking a lot. I know I do this quite often. I'll be talking to Deb, sharing something with her, and she doesn't even have to say anything, because as I've started talking about it and I'm talking it through, next thing you know, I've had my little mini aha moment, and she just chuckles on the other end because, again, so much of the issue. Yeah, you're like, you know, then I'll always be like, oh, well, you know, thanks for today. It was a great conversation. Like, and you're like, heck, you did all the work, because that's what we know. That's the piece, is that with coaching, the client really does all the work. The client has all the answers. We just try to help them sort of bring it out in themselves or see it from a different light, you know, and things like that. And a little analogy I have to share here with awareness, because every time I go, this comes to me, and I always forget to share it, so I just want to take a moment to share my little piece on awareness that I think is kind of funny, but it really makes a clear picture. I love to go blueberry picking, and when I go blueberry picking, there's this one place I go, and they give you like 3 or 4 bushes, and they say, okay, you know, pick here. If you want to pick some more, then, you know, let me know, and we'll give you some more bushes. Well, you'll be picking, and you step up to the bush, and you're looking, and like, oh, my God, there's so many, like, blueberries on here. And you start picking, and all of a sudden, like, you're picking, and then all of a sudden it feels like, well, wait, I feel like where'd all the blueberries go? And or you'll bend down, you put some in your bucket, and I notice, and then I stand up, and I'm just an inch or 2 inches over to the left. And all of a sudden, this blueberry bush, which I feel like I have just picked, and there's nothing left for me to pick, the next thing you know, I've got this explosion of blueberries in front of me again. By moving without even knowing I've even moved. Every time, it's funny, I almost, you know, if I had a camera on me, people would be laughing, because every time I go blueberry picking, I like at some point just start laughing to myself, because I'm like, yep, did it again. Here's that moment of make a slight shift, you know, slight shift in my angles, slight shift in whether I'm, you know, how high I'm standing or if I'm slightly bending down. And this blueberry bush that I feel like I've completely picked out, you know, have picked, there's this burst of blueberries all over the place, right in front of me. And the point, obviously, here is that sometimes what we're talking about here today, it's not big. It doesn't have to be anything that's this huge, huge thing. Sometimes it's just, you know, a slight little movement to the left or to the right or up or down, or even just, you know, stopping to take a step back, close your eyes, reopen your eyes, and you see something differently. But so often we throw up roadblocks in front of ourselves and think there is no way, there's no answer, there's no way this can ever be different. And then we block any potential chance to see anything new, even though it's right in front of our own eyes.
Definitely. You know, I think as you say that, I love the visuals and talking about that. Many years ago, 9 years ago, I think, my life changed drastically. And I moved to another town, and every day when I walked the dog, I had to evaluate, because I was very conscious of my attitude and my mood, that I wanted to present the best of me. And I was really working on that, and that was a lot of my momentum toward coaching. And I would walk the dog around his normal route in the morning, and I would come back in front of one of the stores in town, and there was a little curb, and I would step on that curb and take 3 steps. And in these 3 steps, I would ask myself, am I okay? And if I wasn't, I would have to ask the next question, what's wrong? And when I did that, I didn't always get the answer. And that's where the little things come in that you were talking about. It doesn't have to be a therapy session or, you know, 2 hours of coaching or you know, sitting in front of the mirror for a full day. It can be, am I okay? What's wrong? I didn't always get the answer, but my mood changed. So sometimes those thoughts aren't conscious, but if you shift, sometimes the perception will be different.
And one of the things, too, just to clarify for people listening, you know, somebody might be thinking, okay, what the heck do they mean by shift? I mean, obviously, if I could shift, I would just shift. And it's like the examples of what Deb just shared, and I know mine was more of a visual in regards to picking blueberries, but a shift for someone would basically just be sort of a situation, again, is maybe a situation in your life that just really looks like there's just no answer in sight. And sometimes it's a way of just rewording the question, and so that you know, change up the order of the words within the question or within the problem that you're looking at, or like something you just shared, Deb, or maybe it's a case of saying, okay, wait a minute, I don't feel as bad right now as I did 3 hours ago, and that in that moment when you have realized, hey, I don't feel as bad right now as I did 3 hours ago, you've created an awareness, but that is also, you had a shift in your energy, you had a shift in your mindset that you weren't even, you know, didn't even realize happened, but in that moment you then acknowledge and realize you do feel differently, which can then give you sort of that ability to open up and realize, hey, it's not going to be exactly like it is right now. It's like a stream running down, you know, down through the woods. The water never stays in one place, just as we never stay in one place. Even when we're going through something that might be difficult, or we feel like there's just no answer or change in sight, there is, and something as simple as just being with it, knowing it's going to happen, and checking in with yourself, as Deb, as you gave a great example, and just checking in with yourself, whether it's every couple of hours or whatever, as to be like, hey, wait a minute, how do I feel now? And look at it, is it different? And then realize, okay, but and I'm still okay. Like, I'm still okay here. And those little shifts that happen, you know, they don't have to be the big ones. It can be just something, and just sort of checking in with yourself and making sure that, you know, that you're, again, you're creating an awareness about how you're feeling and looking at something. Now, Deb, is there any thoughts you want to, maybe a little explanation, a little different, your view on maybe explaining a little bit more about what, you know, what it would be to shift?
I think you covered it all in there. It's that aha moment, but sometimes it isn't that subtle. You know, it's just, something's different.
Like when you have that moment when all of a sudden you have something that like shows up in your life, and then you're like, where the hell did this come from? And yet it was like right in front of you all along. But you, or the best example.
You just put on a different pair of glasses, that's all.
Exactly. Well, the example that I love is how, and we've all done this, right? I'll give the example of the one that I've done. I've done this several times, and it cracks me up every time I do it. And that's the thing, it cracks me up. Even when I'm running late, this cracks me up. Where we're looking for our keys. We're running around looking for our keys. I have done this when I've been looking for my keys, and I'm holding them in my left hand, and I'm not even aware of the fact that I have them in my left hand, because usually I carry, if I grab my keys, I'm ready to go out the door. I grab them, and they're in my right hand. Mm-hmm. I have actually done that when I've been looking for my keys, and they're in my left hand. But because I'm so preoccupied with what I'm about to do next, I'm not even aware of what's going on. And that's like that piece of like sometimes it's something, you know, what it is that we're either wanting to do the most, or we need to change, you know, looking for our car keys and they're right in front of us. Or we've looked in that place, and you know how we're looking for something, you've looked in that place and you're like, oh, I can't find it. And, you know, you go around the house.
Finally there, right.
Yeah. You look around, and then you get really frustrated because you can't find it, and you go back to the original place. And it's right there, and you're like, how did that happen? Like, how, like, where did those come from? Because they were not there when you looked. But I guarantee usually what happens is because we're distracted and we're not present in what's happening in the moment, and so we can't even, you know, we're not even able to acknowledge what is right there, that exactly with what we're trying to do. And that's also, again, I think where the little time sometimes that shift can come in, because we get outside of ourselves, as we talked earlier, we get outside of ourselves and we're not present to what we're doing in the here and now, and that's when things can get away from us and start to get a little out of control.
And I agree, and the awareness cannot always happen when we're jamming too much into that moment, into that time, and I think we're all doing that. We're running around, we're trying to finish up things, we're trying to leave the house, or we're running late, or the mind has gotten overwhelmed, with all the steps ahead. And one of the funniest ones, you know, that's happened to me is to run through the house talking to somebody on the phone, trying to finish up a conversation, and I've probably done it with you, and as our conversations can be long, and said, okay, you know, I've got everything. I'm on my way out the door. Have I got my keys? Have I got everything else that I need? Where's my phone? Oh, my God, I can't find my phone. I'm talking to someone, and I cannot find my phone. And, you know, my daughter bringing it up the other day that she did the same thing, and it's like, you know, you spend, and a person on the phone doesn't even realize that. And finally, one of us gets it and says, oh, you're talking on the phone. Because we're so ahead of where we need to be to stay aware, that maybe slowing down and taking the time and enjoying that phone conversation more, or enjoying getting prepared for something, that we're always running so fast. And this is where we can get ahead of ourselves with that drama and that chaos, because it's like tripping. If you trip over a log in the woods, you can't get your back feet underneath you. You can't do it. You're going to go face first because your feet can't keep up with the rest of your body because they've been slowed down. And I think that awareness should slow us down so that we're taking those gentle steps and enjoying life, looking at it a little differently, and maybe evaluating how we're feeling along the way.
Well, I love that piece you just said about slowing down, because one of the things from an athlete's side, and they talk about this a lot with the top elite athletes, and with football season getting ready to get going here, I just heard them talking just recently about, like, the top quarterbacks. And I, you know, full disclosure, I am a huge Patriots fan, love Tom Brady, love what he stands for, in the fact that he was someone who had to come out and prove himself from the get-go. He was 199th pick. It's the great story. And he still today, every day, goes out there and works, is the hardest working person on the field. But the piece of what they were talking about is that with these great quarterbacks, one of the things that they have the ability to do within a game is they can, it's almost as if the game slows down for them right in the moment. They are so present and focused with what is happening that like I said, it's as if the game slows down around them, which then allows them to make better decisions, to be more clear on the decisions they're making, because they are responding to what they are doing and seeing and is happening in front of them. They're not reacting. And I think this is a great, you know, a great piece that we can take in our lives as well, is that if we can slow it down, and what that just means is just get really present and focused in what we're doing in the here and now, we are then more prepared to be able to make the decision of what we're in, you know, what we're doing here, and we're responding versus reacting. Because when we react, as we know, oh, we've said something we don't want to say, or we read that text message that we hit send because we're mad about something, and boom, it's gone and it's done. That's reacting. Where responding is when you take those few moments to think about what it is you want to do, you want to say, you want to be, you want to act on, and you don't necessarily just fly off at whatever. And then you have to, and this is when you were talking earlier about the drama piece, when you are a person who reacts, you spend a lot of time cleaning up messes. When you're somebody who responds, you spend a lot of time in a very empowered place, and you're in charge of your life instead of other people being in charge of how your life shows up. So when you react, you better have a mop and rag with you, because you're going to be cleaning up a lot. When you respond, you're going to be in charge of what's happening and taking place in front of you. And, you know, it's not always going to go smooth sailing, but you're going to have a lot less issues usually and a lot less messes to clean up when you approach things in that manner.
Definitely.
So one of those things here, as I start looking at the clock, one of the things about radio and things like that, time management here, is it's time is starting to tick away. So we just have a few minutes left here today. So with everything we've been talking about, is there anything that has come up for you, additional thoughts, you know, something you wanted to share that that we haven't gotten into yet about our topic or anything in that nature?
It's always beneficial for me as many times as I do it, as I coach it, as I read it, I talk about it, is to reevaluate that awareness piece and how I'm looking at it on a day-to-day basis. I think that's just good for everybody, no matter where you are in life, is to say, am I being conscious? Am I being aware? How might I do that so that it makes my life fuller? I'm achieving the goals that I want to achieve. Is my perception off? Have I got on, the wrong glasses to look at things? And like you said before, the responding. If you respond, you thought it through. You've been thoughtful. And if you react, you can't unring that bell. You can't undo some of the damage. And I don't think any of us is out there to be vindictive and mean. But sometimes it comes across that way. And again, it's our own ego. It's our own insecurities. It's our own sense of not being good enough. And to just let anybody who's listening know you are good enough. You've got all the qualities that you need. They're within you. And just taking the time to stop and realize with that awareness of how wonderful you are.
That was a great share there, and thank you for those great words, and hopefully that's that kind of thing where sometimes somebody needed to hear that, and hopefully they will have the opportunity to hear it. So thank you for sharing that. It was great words there. There's so much there's just so much going on out there in today's world, and I think again, as we've been talking about, just slowing down. And realizing we don't have to get to next week to think we're going to get happy. We don't have to get to get the big house, buy the big car. Like everything we need is, if you think you just did this, what you've already alluded to. Everything you need is already like right here and now for you, because all you need is starts with you. And I know one of the things that you and I talk about a lot, and you're always reminding me, is that we're right where we're supposed to be. Everything we've been doing, we all want to know what's coming. We all want to know what's out there before us. We want that security. But if we think we know what's going to come down the road, then we'll make better choices today. But we can't do that. We can't go back and change the past. All we can do is learn from it. So you're right, and like I said, I love you always reminding me of you're right where you're supposed to be. You're right where everything you've been doing has led you to this point. And when you're now at that point and say you have a decision to make or something coming up for yourself, use what you've learned. Use the awareness that you've created, the perceptions that you've looked at and learned, that self-evaluation, to be able to then make that next new decision. And realize there is no knowing, there is no knowing of what's going to come next from that decision. We all want to know what's going to come from it, but there is no knowing of that. So just know that where you are here and today is right where you're supposed to be, and the universe provides us what we can handle at the time we can handle it, and like I said, I thank Deb for always sometimes, bringing me. She'll sometimes even we'll maybe be sending each other a text message back and forth. And every once in a while, that's the message I get. You're right where you're supposed to be. Sometimes I'm like, damn you, Deb.
and I will add my closing remark is patience is a virtue. It's not going to escape you. It's there. Be patient and aware, and it will happen.
And I think in sort of closing up some thoughts on that and everything we've been talking about, especially based on how we opened up, obviously, again, we're talking about some things from a standpoint and a light for, someone who is in a place to be able to take what we've talked about here today and apply it to their lives. and yet understanding. We're not trying to oversimplify anything that we've talked about here today, because there are those individuals who aren't going to be able to take some of what we've talked about and apply it, because they have some additional things going on in their lives, and as we've talked about, which is created via illness. So that's, I want to just clarify that again, that how we started out today versus how it was, what we kind of, some of what we got into, they kind of do sort of cross over two different roads, because someone who is really, really struggling out there, I would just really encourage you, you know, not to take light anything what we've said here today and think it's as easy as. If you're at a place and maybe you've got some really dark things going on for yourselves, or you have some, you know, really some thoughts that just you can't seem to control or get a grip on, it is absolutely 100% okay to ask for help and to reach out and get that help. Even if it's not maybe with your immediate family or someone in your immediate life, there are places out there that you can ask for help. And I just would encourage anyone to make sure you please go and do that. Because, you know, again, we all are showing up in different places, and we've all, you know, had our highs and lows, and realize that when the help is needed, please go try to, you know, ask for it. So I just wanted to, you know, talk about that just briefly. And Deb, any other last little words here as we kind of come into the end?
I think I go back to my patience is a virtue, and again, it's not a character flaw to have some of these struggles. It's okay. And as you said, I don't think we can emphasize that enough. Ask for help. You know, email us, call someone. It's the best thing that you can do, because just being heard is probably the single most important thing most of us need.
Yes, because as we know, acknowledging and validating is one of the key things that we do with coaching, is making sure that that person that we're working with really knows that they have been heard, and that there is someone that is listening to them and is there for them. And the last little note I want to add on to that piece of what you just shared is, as well as if you're in a place where maybe you can't ask for the help, if you are the observer of someone, sometimes when people are hurting the most, that is when they aren't going to be able to ask for the help. So if you've got a friend or a family member, or somebody you see, a colleague you work with, that just doesn't seem, they seem different, they seem off, they don't seem like their normal self, it's okay to just go up to them and just ask them quickly, hey, is everything okay? You know, is there anything I can do for you? I've noticed you're a little bit extra down today. Because sometimes that's also a really hard and tough place, is being able to face that maybe something's not where you want it to be, or even to ask for that help. So, again, in awareness, perception, and self-evaluation, also have those eyes and ears open for the people around you who may be struggling and aren't in a place and aren't capable of asking for the help. And look at it from that two-way street.
Well said.
So, Deb, if you would like to just very quickly let us know again how someone could get in touch with you after the show if they would like.
I'm Deb LaCroix, and I'm at innerpowercoaching.org, and you can reach me by email at debipcken@gmail.com.
Well, and I want to thank you again. Oh, you're welcome. I want to thank you again for being with me today. And before we do wrap up, I just have a last-minute quick some announcements. The show is coming up on our sister station, on our station here, Life Coach Radio Network, and then our sister station. But coming up on August 17th, which is Sunday at 9 p.m., we have Mark My Words with Certified Life and Business Coach Mark Shaw. On Monday, August 18th at 8 p.m., we have Universe Talks with Life Coach Monica Ortiz. And then on Tuesday at 8 p.m., we have Aligning and Vibrating with Love, New You City Chat with host Danielle Mercurio. And please also check out our sister station, the International Life Coach Radio Network, and the Life Coach Chat channel. And my next show will be on Friday, September 5th at noon, and I look forward to having you joining me here again today, and realize that all these shows are recorded, so you can listen to them again or share them with someone that you might think would benefit from listening or just be interested in listening to the show. And you can also get in touch with me. My website is coachmandy.com. You can reach me via email at mandy@coachmandy.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching and also on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy. So again, Deb, thank you very much for joining me here today. And I want everybody to go out there and have, yes, welcome and have a great weekend and enjoy this beautiful weather. And I will see you on my next show, September 5th. Take care, everyone.